What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Wednesday, May 7th, 2025. Why am I all jonesed up? Because the Florida Panthers are playing tonight. They're not playing in Sunrise. They're still in Toronto. I thought about going to Toronto maybe for like 5 seconds, and then I'm like, nah, been there before. I like Toronto. Nothing wrong with it. It's just that I came back from Spain. I'm like, I'm not going to Toronto right now. If there's a game 7, I would probably find my way to Canada. But right now, no, I'm just chilling. I'll watch the game on television tonight, like almost all of you. And hopefully the Florida Panthers will bounce back in game 2 of their best of 7 series against the Maple Leafs. I am just very thankful, and I know it's the beginning of May. It's not November and Thanksgiving yet, but I can still say I'm thankful. I am very thankful that the Florida Panthers are good. Because right now in South Florida, the Panthers are the show. I know the Marlins are playing games, but the Panthers, that's South Florida right now. That's the town. That's what people are watching. That's what people care about. I know football fans care about Dolphins moves and rookie camps and mini camps and the schedule coming out. But as far as games go, it's all about the Florida Panthers. And if the Panthers were not here in the second round taking on Toronto, if they had lost to Tampa, which that series in the end, it was a gentleman sweep. It wasn't really even close. They win in 5. If they hadn't done that, I wouldn't have a problem doing a show. I mean, I did a show in 2020 when there were no sports going on. But still, I'd rather talk about games much more than just transactions and what a team should do and how are they going to get better? I've been doing that for many, 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 many years when it comes to the Miami Dolphins. The other good news is that this is a South Florida-based talk show. And the sports scene in South Florida, we always have something going on. Even if there's not games going on, even though I guess there really always is, but if we didn't have games going on, you know, something would come up because something always comes up. And we have events in our town all of the time. South Florida is one of the places in the country. It's so unique because we have everything. I know there's other cities in the U.S. that have every sport. Not a lot of them, but there are some. But we have more than that. Not only do we have the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, the NHL, we've also got MLS. We got the major tennis tournament that comes to town. We got F1 that was just in town. We got plenty of college sports. We've got NASCAR. And they had a big announcement yesterday. The championship is returning to Homestead next year.
We're going to Homestead!
While not all of you are into tennis or F1 or NASCAR or even MLS, it doesn't matter. We have it. People come to our town for big events. Anything and everything that happens in the sports world, it comes through South Florida. It may not be every year, but it comes through our town. If I was doing a show based in some other town that had maybe like 2 sports, that would be boring to me. I'd be like, oh my gosh. I can't even imagine living in a town where I didn't have breaking information all of the time. I wouldn't be able to give you the
Slater's scoop.
But for maybe twice a year. With South Florida, we always got something going on. We always got people getting in trouble in South Florida, too, because everyone wants to be in Miami or Fort Lauderdale or maybe Delray Beach. I checked out Delray Beach in February. I don't go to Delray often, once every 10 years or so. That's probably not that often. But now that I'm really into tennis, I'll be back there in February for the Delray Beach Open yet again. And I love the area. Walk around. You got all the bars and restaurants. People chilling out. Like, that's my style. You got stuff going on. You got people hanging out. And it's not like New York City where everyone's like, get out of my way. Come on, move. You're not going fast enough. Spitting on you and bicycles going 60 miles per hour. You're going to get hit by one of them. I can't deal with that. I like quiet places. I like chill places where you can get what you need, where you got great views. Girls, 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 girls. And you can just hang out and have a good time. And you've got sports. We need that. We always have stories in South Florida, don't we? I mean, look at JPP, Jason Pierre-Paul. JPP famous for not just being a good football player, but blowing off part of his hand with fireworks on July 4th many years ago. When that happened, I was in Costa Rica. I'll never forget it. I was in Costa Rica, and I found out the news, and then I put it out on Twitter, gave you a
Slater scoop,
and then saw pictures, like saw many, many things. I had a lot of info, put it all out there, and then people started saying, oh, you're full of it, because one reporter from ESPN said nothing really happened to JPP's hand, and he's fine. That was a complete lie. I had all that information. Put it out there, and now JPP came up in the news again the other day claiming that he had a $400,000 watch that was stolen from him at a club. And I'm just thinking to myself, I mean, I don't have a $400,000 watch. My watch is, I don't know, around $4,000 or $5,000, something like that. Definitely not $400,000. And I go to a club every now and then. Not often. Probably a little bit more often than I go to Delray Beach. But again, that's changing now. But when I go out and I'm in a crowd, if somebody took off my watch, I would probably feel it. I mean, it's on my wrist too, so something would be missing from my wrist. But I can't speak to what may have happened. I can only tell you what Jason Pierre-Paul said on his Instagram and told some local news stations and told TMZ and many other people. And then the following day, he said he wants to come back and play in the NFL again, that he's ready, he's getting in shape, or he's already in shape, and he's ready to play again. He says he's still got more in him. Police are supposedly still investigating what Jason Pierre-Paul told them. I was also told he had his own security at the club, but his $400,000 watch, according to what he says, got stolen from him, taken right off of his wrist. And I'm not saying that can't happen. I'm sure it's happened all over the world before. It's just that, I mean, you're a big dude. You're a football player. There's no small football players, maybe a few, but Jason Pierre-Paul ain't one of them. Am I going to go up to Jason Pierre-Paul and try to steal his watch? I mean, I'm not. I'm not stealing anybody's watch. But if that is indeed the case and that happened, wow, you got to have really big you-know-what. Oof. It's not that balls is a bad word to say. It's just that I don't feel like having anyone call the station, hey, Slater said this. People do that from time to time, and I don't want the station to have to pick up the phone for something unnecessary. So maybe you got kids in the car. Just talking about beach balls. You know, you toss at games and you're in the sand and you're throwing around a beach ball. I never really see that anymore. Do people play around with beach balls at the beach? I mean, it's called a beach ball, but I've seen it more at sporting events than anything. And then the usher, oh, they got to take it away. Like, why ruin all the fun? Then they get booed. That's my favorite part. A beach ball at a game, the usher grabs it. They take it into the tunnel, and everybody boos them. I have some friends who are ushers at many stadiums around South Florida. And yeah, I'm talking to you. You grab that beach ball and you deflate it, everybody hates you because that means you hate fun. Oh, I'm doing my job. Give me a break. Like, if you didn't grab that beach ball, you're going to get fired or something? No. All right, I got a lot to get to. More than just big beach balls. We got a big hockey game tonight. Even though if the Panthers lose, they're still going to be okay. But you don't want to be down 2-0. You don't want to have all this pressure on you. And I don't think that's going to be the case. But I got these notes in front of me. I got screens in front of me. I got a lot of things to say. However, I can't until this hour officially begin.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
Do I have any crying sound effects here? I guess I could take time to look for it, but I don't have a lot of time with the hour, and I got Lieutenant Camacho coming on today from the Florida Highway Patrol. I got other things to say, so I'm not going to look for some crying sound effects. But if you want to hear crying, turn on Toronto radio, and I'm sure you're going to hear plenty of it. You're going to hear so much that you would have thought they would be down 1-0 in this series, the Leafs, because they're whining and their fans are whining like they're the ones who lost game one. The Sam Bennett hit. Sam Bennett should have been suspended. What happened to Anthony Stolarz, the Leafs goaltender, former Panther backup, you never want to see happen to anybody. You don't want to see somebody get hurt. You don't want to see him get concussed. You don't want to see them in such bad shape where they're throwing up there, leaning over at the bench. We have plenty of experience in South Florida when it comes to concussion talk and seeing bad things happen with concussions. So you never want to see that. But if you listen to what's coming out of Toronto, it does not sound like a team that is up 1-0 on the defending Stanley Cup champions. They're at home with a chance to go up 2-0 tonight. And if they do go up 2-0 tonight, the Panthers would have to win 4 out of the final 5 remaining games. If there were to be 5 remaining games. Toronto should be locked in, and they should realize the magnitude of what they've got in front of them this evening. As far as Sam Bennett goes, I thought he handled the situation perfectly. When Sam Bennett spoke yesterday, he explained what happened on the play. The Panthers were on the power play, and he went to the net to try to score. He told everyone, hey, Stolarz, not only is he a former teammate of mine, but he's my friend. And I reached out to him. I texted him. He wrote me back. The two were communicating. If you think Sam Bennett was headhunting, especially his friend, that he wanted to take out the goaltender, give me a break. When I first saw that, I'm like, what are people talking about? I know Sam Bennett has a history, but on that play, it's like he barely even touched him. It wasn't some cheap shot. And then you remember what happened prior to that with a slap shot and I believe another shot too, hitting Stolarz in the mask. And now all of the concussion experts come out and say, well, that was probably what did it. Maybe Bennett touching him a little bit made things worse, but that didn't concuss him. But you know what? If Toronto fans tonight, if you want to boo Sam Bennett every time he touches the puck, go ahead, have at it. It's not going to be the first time that happened. It's probably not going to be the last time that it happens. I remember it happened to him in the Boston series. Sam Bennett tends to become the villain. It's his style of play, but he's not the one that made Stolarz go to the hospital. It clearly was the puck to the helmet. But again, if Toronto and their fans want to spend so much of their mental energy talking about that instead of tonight's game, where this series can turn on a dime, have at it. The way the Leafs came out in game one, it looked like they were going to blow the Panthers' door down. 4-1 going into the third. Well, then the Panthers came on. They did not quit. They came out buzzing in the third, led to a pair of goals. They got the game to within one a couple of times. But Toronto went on to win. Come out stronger tonight. That's what Florida needs to do. And yeah, Toronto's backup goaltender is going to be in there. You're not happy if you're a Panthers fan. But if we're going to talk about this series, now they're taking on their backup goaltender. Aaron Ekblad, he comes back this evening. For all the talk about Bennett and the hit and how he should get a game, you want to talk about somebody who was suspended. That was Aaron Ekblad, and rightfully so, suspended for two games. He's back this evening. They played game one without him, and Ekblad coming back tonight, that's going to be a huge help. If the Panthers' problem, according to Paul Maurice, was they didn't play their system properly, well, who knows the Panthers' system better than Aaron Ekblad? A dude who's been with Florida forever. The style and the way that Paul Maurice wants his team to play all the time, it irks other teams. Ekblad is part of that style. And the fact that it really gets teams aggravated, that's a good thing. Because the Panthers are physical. They grind on guys. They wear on guys. And by the end of the series, the other team, they're worn out. Panthers are relentless and physical. You could say it's like a bad boy style of hockey, but it's not that bad. It's just that they grind. They're gritty. They're going to come at you. There's going to be some tough hits. Guys are going to get upset. But you know what? The way the Panthers play clearly works come playoff time. The proof is in the pudding. There's a reason that Paul Maurice's team here has been to the Stanley Cup final two straight seasons. There's a reason they won the cup last year. This style works. Others may not like it. You know why they don't like it? Because the Panthers are beating them. Go ahead and get better. Try to stop that style. Don't let it bother you. And not only will Toronto need to stop Florida, I feel like Florida's ahead in this series, even though they're down 1-0. The Panthers will have to come out and play better, and one of those players that's got to be better is Bob. And I think Bob will be better. I know there were other storylines from game one, but sometimes we complicate sports. Like football, if the quarterback's off, it's hard to win. Baseball, if your starting pitcher's got a bad game, bad outing, it's tough to overcome. In hockey, if the goaltender is off, that's a problem. And in game one, we had bad Bob. He wasn't crisp. He gave up a goal on the first shot of the game. He was off. He's human. It happens. We're not talking about March Madness here, single elimination. Bob has to be really good 4 games out of 7. Do that for the next 3 series. This series and 2 more. if Bob can be really good for four games, the Panthers are going to have another parade. Four games each series. Let me make that clear. You could put game one in the bad category for him. Let's see how Bob plays tonight, because I believe we are going to get a much better Bob. He's so steady. He's so good. He knows what's up in the postseason. He's got the experience. We've seen him make incredible saves. And now he's got Aaron Ekblad back in front of him starting tonight. You know, if Bob only gives up one or two goals, nobody talks about him. And that happens a lot. You know, you start to take a guy's greatness for granted. It gives you a feel just of how good he really is when it's like, okay, yeah, he gave up one or two and nobody really talks about him. It's not easy to give up just one or two goals. But Bob can do that on a consistent basis. Only give up one, only give up two. And if you've got a goaltender only giving up one or two goals, you should be winning that hockey game. So Bob will be better tonight, I'm sure. Ekblad will be back. And let's get Barkov to do something here. I know people talk about the matchup Barkov and Austin Matthews. Barkov's the captain. I expect Barkov to turn it up. You got a great coach behind the bench. You got Bob in net. You got Ekblad coming back. And you got your captain in Barkov. The Panthers can win this game tonight, and they can absolutely win this series. They've done it before against this team, and they can certainly do it again. I don't talk about national sports going on across the country that don't concern one of our teams, unless it's the Super Bowl, some big event that all of us are watching. But something caught my eye last night that I wanted to bring up, and it does pertain to one of our teams. You might be watching the NBA playoffs, and that's cool. You're an NBA fan. You saw Cleveland against Indiana last night. Haliburton went nuts. I saw a tweet by Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald. I don't mind bringing up Barry's name on this show because Barry's always at it. Barry said something about, hey, the Cavs crushed the Heat by so much. What does it say that they're losing to Indiana? I think the Heat playoff series was a standalone event. That's my opinion. I saw his tweet and I'm like, I don't think it needs support from another series to provide context. I mean, the Heat lost by 37 points at home. And then had so much pride that they followed it up by losing by 55 at home. The evaluation of the Miami Heat, it shouldn't be, well, they got knocked off by Cleveland, but look at what happened to the Cavs next. No, the point of the Heat series with the Cavs is that the Miami Heat were not good enough. The Cavs finished in the East as the number one seed, and no matter what they were going to do moving forward, you saw what they could do to the Heat. This team was not even close, and they're not even close to any of the top teams in the Eastern Conference. The gap between where the Heat are and Boston, New York, Cleveland, Indiana, all those teams, the gap is huge. And if Pat Riley doesn't get busy this offseason and find a way to get a superstar, somebody who changes the franchise, Heat fans are going to go nuts. I'm going to go nuts. Pat has got to get it done. Maybe we've all underestimated what he's got left. And we're going to find out if that is true. He's got to get it done. The last time Pat Riley got it done was getting Jimmy Butler in a Miami Heat jersey, and you saw he got 5 years out of him. He didn't win it all with him, but we got playoff Jimmy. Now we're going to see playoff Jimmy with Golden State because Steph Curry is going to be out at least a week. We'll see what Pat Riley has to say when he holds his end of the season news conference, which is yet to happen, but I'm sure it'll take place very soon. My poker tournament is going to be taking place very soon. The Slater Scoops poker tournament, less than a week away, next Tuesday night. That's May 13th. Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. I hope you will join me. $250 buys you in. Last month, we had $87,000 in the prize pool. There's going to be a minimum of $20,000, but there's been so much more money in that prize pool. It has been incredible. So many of you have been coming out, and I thank you for it. And I hope you're going to come out again next Tuesday, 6 days away. The tournament begins at 6 p.m. You have until 9:30 p.m. to get there and get yourself a seat. $250, that's what the buy-in is. It's the Slater Scoops Poker Tournament next Tuesday night at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. Before I get to Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol, at least the Florida Highway Patrol hasn't mentioned Tyreek Hill's name anytime in the past, I don't know, 8 months or so, 7 months. But Tyreek is being spoken about again because, hey, we haven't said his name for about 5 days or 2 weeks. I was in Spain not saying his name. Tyreek went out there on social media and listed his top five quarterbacks. And, of course, he didn't mention Tua. So now people are like, oh, he's trying to get traded. If you don't think Tua is a top five quarterback, at least name your list and say, hey, Tua's my guy, but let me give you my other five. But in the end, you know, on this show, I'm always all about honesty. Is Tua a top five quarterback in football? No. I was in Spain the past 2 weeks. Lieutenant Camacho, I think you were hanging around Hard Rock Stadium maybe for the past couple of weeks, but now I'm back. You're back. How was F1?
F1 was successful. Some weather, you know, a little bit of a rain on, you know, early Sunday, but it cleared up and they were able to race and complete the Grand Prix. Pretty cool event, international event. And honestly, South Florida's lucky enough to host it. And we're happy to be a part of it and just provide that visibility there.
I don't remember where I was going. Actually, now I do that I bring it up. I was coming back from Uncle Luke's street naming event in Liberty City. I survived Liberty City. That's point number one. But on my way back on 95, Lieutenant, I saw some troopers, and they had like a van behind them, and it looked like some sort of escort. So how many escorts were you guys doing with F1 in town?
Well, you know what happens is F1, a lot of the teams, a lot of the drivers, and a lot of the marshals for F1, there's a lot of equipment that needs to be taken in and out of the track. A lot of the teams bring their equipment. And so we do sometimes provide traffic escorts when for some of the sponsors of F1 or for some of the teams, the race teams, the marshals, like I said. So there was a few moves happening throughout the weekend, but primarily focused on teams and sponsors, again, affiliated with F1 and Hard Rock Stadium.
How does that work? Like, do you guys just decide, hey, we're going to help these people out? Because that doesn't sound like it would be legal. Is there more like of a form and a process?
Well, no, we do it with sports teams as well. We do it with the University of Miami, though there's certain things that have to be requirements, right, that have to be met. Usually it's surrounding like sporting events. It's you know, teams and coach buses or equipment for this, like for a race or you know, some of the things like that. Or then there's also escorts for like construction materials, you know, these huge like pillars and stuff for you know, when they're building highways and stuff, you'll see that there's like a, you know, real long pillar that's being escorted down. So there's a couple of things that are required for us to be able to escort for these types of things.
So if I'm running late, there's a lot of traffic, I can't just dial star FHP and say, hey, how do I sign up for an escort? Here's my credit card number.
No.
Doesn't work like that?
No, it doesn't work like that.
Come on, if I'm going to pay, I mean, anybody should be able to pay for a service.
No, not this is not really, this is more, again, when whenever there's like a public safety concern or some kind of pre-existing hazard that might be in place, you know, things like that, that's where it can get justified, where we can provide that service for certain types of events, or like I said, for, you know, obviously this construction type materials.
Yeah. Plus, a lot more people are watching nowadays, Lieutenant, have cameras. Mm-hmm. I remember back in the day, it wasn't the Florida Highway Patrol, but there were other departments escorting people from jail back to their house. And I think goalie pads from the Panthers arena to the airport to pick them up so the guy could play the game and other things. But I mean, now you guys, I mean, really with everything, have to almost play exactly by the rules. I know you have some discretion, but you've got cameras yourself, right?
Yeah, of course. And you have to, obviously, police escorts are provided, obviously, for the purposes, like I said, of alleviating like an existing hazard, or when, you know, there's a vital public safety concern or security interests are at stake, things like that. They're, you know, and they're undertaken like as you know, secondary things, you know. But some of the examples, like I was saying, are just like an oversized load transportation, or sometimes for dignitary, you know, elected officials, or sometimes even like a charity run, you know, or some type of walk for a cause. We just did a former Senator Brooks. She has a walk for, you know, abused children, and, you know, just to recognize that throughout the entire state. Like I said, professional sports teams, you know, all of those things that are the acceptable or the sanctioned or the authorized ones that we can escort and provide that service for.
You know, and speaking of what I brought up, like the cameras and the microphones and everything, I've seen so many videos on TikTok. I don't know if you're into TikTok or not, Lieutenant, but you see people getting pulled over and they're suspected of drinking and driving. And they're like, oh, you know, let me go. But if you were to let somebody go and they tell somebody, hey, yeah, you know, they let me go, somebody can like ask for that footage and then you're in trouble. Is that how it works?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, if a trooper suspects that somebody's impaired, yeah, they should obviously take it to that next level. And then that's why we conduct our roadside, our exercises, right? You know, just you know, field sobriety exercises that you do on the side of the road to determine, because remember, it doesn't say that you can't, you know, you might smell of alcohol because maybe you just had a glass of wine with dinner, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be over that legal limit of the blood alcohol content, right? So if you suspect it as a trooper, that gives you probable cause to ask somebody to perform those exercises, and then you can determine based on the results or the performance, right? Whether they you suspect them being over the limit, or if you are they're okay to drive, you know. So, but absolutely, if you just let somebody go and you suspected that, and let's say not so much if somebody says, oh yeah, they let me go, right? Because yeah, all of that is captured in video and audio recordings. But let's say it's not about somebody saying, hey, they let me go. Let's say that person now drives up the street and gets involved in a crash, and, you know, kills somebody or severely hurt somebody. And there's a record of that traffic stop, you know, maybe a couple miles back. Same type of liability, same type of, right, you're going to be held accountable for not, you know, investigating that, not following up on that properly. That's what I think is really more of the concern here, is letting that driver go, suspecting that, and then something, you know, bad were to happen, rather than just, you know, chit chat over with a friend saying, hey, I got away with it, you know, whatever, something like that.
See, that's why you're here. You bring up good points. Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol with us here on the Andy Slater Show, as he is every Wednesday. Lieutenant, there was something that happened a bit north of Tampa. A lady wound up getting pulled over. She didn't know she was being chased, but she told troopers, hey, look, everybody goes fast. Like, it's not just me, everybody goes fast. How does that work on the road if you stop somebody and you have all these other cars also going over the speed limit, and I tell you, Lieutenant, well, yeah, I mean, I was going 85, but so was everybody else. Why am I the one who gets in trouble?
Well, first of all, this from what I read on this incident, this lady was doing over 80 miles an hour. She flew by a trooper. Once the trooper saw her, the trooper was in a fully marked car, by the way, big sign on the side that says state trooper real big, you know. So she just flies right by him, and then she starts passing vehicles aggressively. She starts driving on like the grassy shoulder to pass vehicles, and then he tries to stop her, and she's not stopping. Eventually she did stop right before he was getting ready to to perform that pit maneuver on her. But her excuse was, oh, everybody drives fast, or I didn't know you were trying to pull me over. And it's like, you know, I just don't understand that type of excuse, really. Or if somebody says, oh, you know, everybody drives fast, or I was just going the same speed as everybody. Not really, because most people try to not really drive by a state trooper, number one. That's the point of that marked car being out there, right? So that's the point of that car being out there, to serve as that deterrence, right, from people driving too fast or driving recklessly. So she did that. Then she's passing cars on the grassy shoulder while he's trying to pull her over. I mean, that's pretty.
Hey, everybody uses the grassy shoulder. You know?
Have you ever driven on a grassy shoulder at 80 miles an hour? The amount of
debris that gets
kicked up.
I can only imagine that. Again, Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol with us here on the Andy Slater Show. Lieutenant, there was also another story I was reading about. I had no idea about this. This had to do with an iPhone. I believe somebody was involved in a crash, and I guess it was severe. They couldn't respond, but their iPhone alerted officials that they were in a crash. I didn't even know your iPhone could do that. What can you tell us about what happened?
I don't think my iPhone does it, because it's probably like 4 years old. So I'm not sure if it does it or not, but you're absolutely right. This happened in Central Florida. A guy was driving and he crashed into, I want to say he crashed into somebody's house or somebody's wall or something like that. And he just fled the scene. And the crash was, I guess, detected by his iPhone. And I guess the iPhone gives you a certain amount of time for you to, I guess, respond or interact with the device, whether it's a watch or a phone or whatever. And he didn't do that. I guess he was too busy trying to get away, right? And so the phone then automatically called 911, and it just gives like this this recording, and it says, you know, the owner of this iPhone was in a severe crash and is not responding to their phone.
Wow.
And of course that, you know, gets us you know, prioritizes that call and sends, you know, all available units in the area over there, obviously, because you think it's the worst, right? You think,
right,
somebody's probably really hurt and you want to get out there as quick as possible. So I think that the feature, it kind of sets that, it makes that alert to first responders, and I think it might even give the location, the real time location, to, in hopes of, you know, assisting obviously officers in getting there. So
I guess, yeah, that's a pretty Lieutenant, I guess that's a feature that it's good that we don't know about, that because,
yeah,
I mean, that it's not being used. You're okay, you're driving all right.
Right, we're not crashing. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
What other features? What other features does that phone have? What else do you know? What else could you tell us?
I don't know. I just learned this. I just learned this myself. I know that some of the cars have it, right? When you're involved in a bad crash,
right?
Like some of the cars, you know, will make that call for you. But I didn't know the phone does it. Like I said, I don't think mine does it. But
don't find out.
Pretty neat feature. Honestly, if you really are involved in a crash and you do need that help, I think it's a neat feature. God forbid you're by yourself and you have nobody else to call for you, and you're maybe unconscious or something.
Yeah.
But in this case, it helped locate this person who was not unconscious, but kind of prioritizing his attention on maybe fleeing the scene of a crash. So worked out either way, and he was arrested.
Lieutenant, one more question for you. I saw this campaign. It came to my inbox yesterday. Share the road. Now, I'm not a fan of sharing anything. I mean, I order at a restaurant. Oh, let me have. I don't want to share. Order your own. We would all love the road to ourselves, but share the road. Who are we supposed to, like, legally share it with?
So this campaign just tries to focus on bicycles and pedestrians mainly, right? Obviously, bicycle is legally defined as a vehicle in the state of Florida. It's got, you know, all the privileges as a responsibility as a regular motor vehicle. But I think more so, Andy, geographically in South Florida, I'll tell you, I think pedestrian safety is what we focus on here. Because they have the highest fatality rate among all road users, and just because of so many different entertainment districts within South Florida, whether it's Fort Lauderdale, Palm Beach, or Miami Beach, you know, there's a lot of pedestrian traffic and a lot of people driving distracted. And so, you know, it's just kind of raising awareness for pedestrian safety, because there was over, 12,000 crashes last year involving pedestrians, with about almost 1,000 of them in resulting in a fatality. So it's just really just getting people to pay attention out there, just an educational campaign that we push for awareness on that.
Who should be paying more attention, though? Because I've come across this and I've seen this with my own eyes several times in the past year. Mm-hmm. If you're making a right turn at a light, okay, so you're looking to the left to see if any cars are coming,
right.
But then there's a person who's entering from the right to cross.
Yep.
I've seen it myself, like cars inch up and almost hit the person, and it almost happened to me too. So who's more responsible there, the person walking or the person driving?
Well, I can tell you, and I'm almost certain of this, I can tell you legally, and what you described right now, it just happened to me this past weekend.
Because
when you have that green to turn right and you're looking left, those pedestrians that are directly in front of you, they also have the go-ahead to cross on that crosswalk. And that's what happens. So the pedestrian does have the right of way there. But it's the motorist should be obviously looking for cars, but obviously, understanding that there's going to be pedestrians coming through there. And honestly, if you're a pedestrian, you know that that's going to be a car versus a pedestrian. We know who wins that one. So you have to obviously, protect yourself and just keep in mind that some drivers are distracted. And also as a motorist, keep in mind that some pedestrians are just, also distracted, or they might have their AirPods on and they can't hear a thing, like that noise cancellation thing. They have no idea what they're like in another world, and they really don't understand or hear what's happening out there. So I think it's a combined effort, Andy, but I think legally the pedestrian has the right of way there. If they're within a crosswalk with the little walking symbol on the display there, telling them to go ahead and cross, the pedestrian does have the right of way there.
It feels like to me, Lieutenant, I mean, you always, I mean, hear defensive driving. You want to be a defensive driver. I feel like there should also be defensive walking. Absolutely.
Pedestrians should really never assume that a driver sees them, right? They should.
Yeah.
You could do things like make eye contact as they approach, like kind of maybe a little hand gesture, like, hey, go ahead.
Middle finger, or some other hand gesture.
The basic stuff, watching for cars, entering, exiting driveways. I mean, if at night, try to wear visible clothing. I mean, so many things you can do. But again, just, paying attention, really. And just kind of paying attention, situational awareness.
I feel like you got to be defensive about everything in life. I mean, it used to just be driving. Now it's everything. Lieutenant Camacho from the Florida Highway Patrol, I appreciate the time on this Wednesday. We didn't get to catch up the past couple of weeks because I was walking in Barcelona and Spain, where there's plenty of room there, Lieutenant. I don't know if you've been there before, but what a great setup.
I have.
Yeah, it's amazing. I can't wait to go back. Thanks again for your time, and we'll chat again next Wednesday.
Thanks, Andy. See you.
All right, you got it. Lieutenant Camacho with the Florida Highway Patrol. It really is something in Barcelona, the setup they have, where – the middle of the roads, and I'm talking about like these roads are wide. Here in South Florida, they keep expanding things every couple of years so we can have some more construction. Just they got to keep the construction workers doing something. So let's just do more construction. Over there, the roads are so wide, so spread apart. And then in the middle, you got people walking, you got big walkways, you got people eating between the people driving on the left and the right, and there's so much space where they're not going to run into your table. It's designed really well. And in South Florida, I'm not sure if we have anything that's designed very well on the roads. If we did, we'd have trains in the middle of our big-time expressways instead of all of this traffic. All right, that's all the time I got for this Wednesday afternoon. We'll do it again tomorrow. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.